Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. Today, we have a special show because there's been a new press that's established independence that comes from Los Angeles. It's called Zero Gram Press. It's a press I'm very fond of, and their first original book called Panthers and the Museum of Fire. Great title, huh? It's by an Australian writer named Jen Craig, which means after I talked to the editor of the press itself, Zero Gram Press, whose name is Jim Gower, you may recognize it from his previous appearance on Bookworm with his book Novel Explosives, one of the most extraordinary first novels to have appeared in recent years. He has brought independence to his Zero Gram Press. And tell me, Jim Gower, what are you looking for with your press?
Well, I suppose I should start with a bit of a mission statement. It's not really a manifesto, but it's something that was posited by Walter Benjamin back in the 1930s. So the Walter Benjamin of famously known for art in the age of mechanical reproduction. And what Benjamin said is in each generation, the attempt must be made to wrest the tradition from a conformism that is about to overwhelm it. So one of the things that Zero Gram set out to do is to follow Benjamin's guide.
Today and now, we have the book with the fascinating title, Panthers and the Museum of Fire. It's by an Australian writer. How did you find it?
Well, it came to me through a friend of my novel Explosives, who's in England. His name is Daniel Davis Wood, and he runs a small publishing house called Splice. He didn't publish the book because they publish mostly short fiction, but he knew about me, and he wrote to me and was looking for suggestions for publishers. This was right around the time that we decided to take Zero Gram independent, start our own press. And so we acquired rights to the book. The book had been originally published in Australia in 2015, I believe. But this is kind of its appearance on a bigger stage. Jen is in a tradition, multi-layered narrative, and a very keen ear for the sounds and rhythms of prose and interesting language. We love writers that have absorbed the tradition and then, as Pound said, you know, gotten contemporary.
You've published a new book from a writer who lives in a continent whose literature we hardly know. It's very exciting to have this. Can anyone who wants to submit a manuscript to your press, Zero Gram Press?
Yes, absolutely. We don't have these narrow submission windows that you'll see with many independents. As you probably know, to get into the majors, you absolutely need an agent, and increasingly with the major independents, you need an agent to get in. Many of the major independents just flat say on their websites, unagented submissions, you know, unwelcome.
Let's face it, this is not a very happy time for a writer to find a press. That's why I got so excited when Zero Gram emerged and was going to be a press that doesn't have limitations on what can be submitted. It is, though, helpful for a writer to know that you're interested in the tradition of the novel and expanding that tradition in new and surprising ways. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the most common questions that we get at Zero Gram, other than can I get a free copy of the book, is, you know, something like, I love novel explosives, what should I read next? And what we'd like to be able to do 3 years from now is send them a list of Zero Gram titles that would satisfy them that, this is what I should read next. So if you wanted to say, what are we trying to do over the next 3 years? We'd like to have a list that would answer that question, what should I read next?
I love it. Of course, that list, really, secretly, listeners, is an endless list. There's no yeah. end to what you should read next. There is a briefer list of what you shouldn't read next, and that's up to you to discover, too.
Right.
Sometimes you can know if you see a book published by Zero Gram Press, or you hear a book talked about on this show, Bookworm from KCRW, you can know that it's a book worth your time and effort. That, I think, Jim and I are in alliance about so many other things as well. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's my job to make sure that's true, and the rest of the group, that we have quite a extended family at Zero Gram, but we built up a large network of supporters and fans who send us novels, recommend things, read things that we're thinking about. And it's been a wonderful part of this, particularly during the pandemic when we're all sort of isolated, to feel this sort of community of support.
I've been talking to Jim Gower of Zero Gram Press. He is the author of the wonderful book Novel Explosives, and he has published a novel, an Australian novel, Panthers and the Museum of Fire by Jen Craig, and we're going to talk to her. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Michael. Always good to talk to you.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to KCRW's Bookworm. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'd like to welcome Jen Craig, who will talk about her new book, Panthers and the Museum of Fire, which is published by Zero Gram Press. Jen Craig is a writer who lives in Australia and who has been published by Zero Gram Press, the press that is the subject of today's show. I was given the novel by Jen Craig called Panthers and the Museum of Fire, and like anyone, I couldn't resist a title like that. It's a title that makes me want to read the book that follows it. I wouldn't have been surprised if it were a book of poetry, but that it's a novel, a short novel. It's 121 pages called Panthers and the Museum of Fire by my guest, Jen Craig. Now, you do something really ingenious in this book, Jen. You explain what the title means within the first 10 pages. And that's one of the things that's so interesting about this book. You don't hold secrets. The secrets keep compounding, but you explain them as they come. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I definitely that rings true to me. And can I say, first of all, it's such a joy to be on this show with you, Michael. I've been listening to your podcast, your show for years, so this is so exciting for me.
It's, of course, thrilling to me here in Los Angeles to know that my show is reaching a writer in Australia. Now, I need to ask you, before we go on to Panthers, what I know of Australian literature comes from its Nobel Prize winner, and I'm a great fan of Patrick White and his novel Voss is a favorite of mine. What do you think?
Yep, I loved, yes, Patrick White was important to me a long time ago when I was at university. I read nearly all of Patrick White. He was such a curmudgeonly, inspiringly cranky, great writer, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so happy you feel that way because it took my breath away to read Voss. I wasn't as fond of the vivisector, but there are others that I absolutely adore. And that, for me, is the Australian writer. What is Australian lit like now? You're about to be a major participant, yes?
Australian literature, it's a very vibrant community of writers there. There's a lot of different exciting sort of new writers coming up. The poetry scene's exciting. It was my major area of study, in fact, when I was at university, Australian literature, and it was a huge eye-opener for me because I stumbled upon it. I discovered a whole lot of writers who are still really important to me. A lot are not around anymore. I'm not as much in touch with the scene as I was back then. I loved the kind of there's a kind of ironic undercurrent. There's a playfulness. There's right from the beginning a sense that we're at the opposite end of the world where everything's, you know, just like today. I'm in summer. You're in winter. We grow up with, you know, as writers, readers, we grow up with English literature that is the opposite of our experience. Christmas is hot. And that seems to give us a unique view, I think. We can't take things for granted. We play with assumptions. Well, that's my experience anyway. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I was led to one of your modern writers by John Coetzee, another Nobel-winning novelist who was once, in fact, a teacher of mine at the State University of New York at Buffalo. I had the luck and pleasure of studying with Coetzee, who is indeed a very odd man, and so are his books. And he brought attention in our New York Review of Books to an Australian writer who more or less lives in isolation and whose sexual life, as I understand it, has been relegated to a dismal background. He's not interested in it.
Oh, Gerald Manane, is that what you're talking about, him?
Yes, I am. Yes, and you know...
Yeah.
Suddenly, if Americans know contemporary Australian writing, it's through the name of Murname. And now you're about to know more about it through Jen Craig. Now, Panthers and the Museum of Fire is fascinating because you would expect that we would only learn about the title as we make our way gradually through the book. But instead, we're told what it is within its first 10 pages. What does the title mean?
The title is a sign, and a sign in many ways. It's a sign, it was a sign in the exactly those words, on the M4 motorway, which is a major motorway between Sydney, the city, and the Blue Mountains, which is a long range that goes all the way down parallel to the east coast of Australia. And it was there because the sign on its in its plain sort of sense, it used to point out where Panthers rugby league club was and a museum, which is actually a museum of fire. And I found that sign entrancing for years. Every time I drove past it, it meant something to me. And I think it's what it meant to me became much more interesting than what it was. What it suggested, so many things. It suggests a kind of world that can open up and keep opening somewhere where all possibilities come true. It's mysterious. It's dark. It's a sign of, and I've always been interested in this, a sign. There are moments in our lives when something happens, and it could be an event, we can see somebody or we see a road sign like that, and I'm fascinated at how that can have an extra meaning. Like it could be something I base the rest of my life on. I can interpret it how I want, and then it can be a sign from God, the universe. I'm fascinated by that aspect of sign. So everything about that sign, yeah.
As soon as I saw the title of this novel by Jen Craig, my guest, Panthers and the Museum of Fire, my excitement was stimulated. And then how much more interesting to be told immediately that Panthers is the name of a rugby club, and the Museum of Fire is virtually a tourist attraction. So what we find immediately in this novel is that the ordinary world yields the extraordinary world. The world you think you know gives on to a world full of what the narrator, who is herself Jen Craig, calls extraordinary breakthroughs. She's had an extraordinary breakthrough on the receipt of a manuscript called Panthers and the Museum of Fire. This manuscript is by a woman named Sarah, who she has not seen or spoken to in over 10 years. They went to school together, and somehow or other, this character, who was known for her diffidence, for her difficulty, for her inability to make friends, this character seems to have written a masterpiece, a major novel. And not only that, she's made it accessible, if it is accessible. Her sister, Pamela, has found it after the death of Sarah. She's given it to our narrator to read and then decides suddenly that she doesn't want the manuscript read. We're not quite sure why, but we're following the narrator, Jen Craig, to a coffee shop, a cafe, where she will return this extraordinary manuscript to Pamela, the sister of its author. Did I do that right?
You did that right. Yes, exactly. Beautiful description of what I often find quite difficult to describe when someone asks me about it. Yeah, that's lovely. There is also a moment too in the history of the narrator and Sarah. And the narrator, I like to think of, it's Jen Craig or it could be Jenny, who knows what it is, as there's a kind of ambiguity about that. It's a, I play with me or play with what my name could be, as you would know, in the book.
Yes. Let me try right here to give some perspective on this. Jen Craig is short for Jenny Craig. Jenny Craig was, of course, once upon a time, the founder of a dieting company. Now, one of the virtuosities of this novel is that Sarah has grown, as the sister says, Sarah has grown large. Jen, in her term, has been anorectic. That none of it matters. It's just thrilling because the novel itself takes on large paragraphs and anorectic paragraphs. It's the style of the novel to meet the anorectic and the large and to create a novel, Panthers and the Museum of Fire, in which opposites meet, as they essentially do in the title. Now, how much was this opposition on your mind?
Wow. That's, I like how you put it there. The form is really important to me, is always important to me when I write. I need to feel the form of something. And it takes me a while sometimes to find what that form will be. I think of it like, because I used to, years ago, I used to make pots. I used to make teapots. And I think of it like throwing clay on the wheel, and I had another go. And it needs to find the form. And the form I knew from the beginning would be short. I knew it would be a short piece. And yet I also knew that there would be this expansiveness as well. And I didn't know how I was going to work with that. But what you talked about right at the beginning there about revealing what might otherwise be revealed a lot later on. I don't want that. I'm not interested in that kind of suspense. There's already enough, I guess, as you hinted at. There's enough layers of secrets in there. So I find it important to go straight into that structural issue, the opposition, if you like. Revealing what needs to be, what might be revealed at the end, right at the beginning, and somehow that enables for me a whole other level of writing experience to happen.
Well, one of the things that I loved, and as I'm sure listeners are getting the idea, I loved this book. It wasn't like, although I can name novels in its tradition, it wasn't like anything I knew. And certainly, I didn't know it was happening in Australia. But among the writers I thought about were two writers I love, Thomas Bernhardt and W.G. Sebald. The Sebald in particular of the novel Austerlitz. I'm not saying that this novelist, Jen Craig, will be in the future compared to Sebald and to Bernhardt. But I'm saying that there's a good chance that a writer who's brought this much delicious complexity of style to a novel is going to be read. And now that the work is being published, this is her first publication in America, as I understand it. Now that the work is going to be published in America, it will also be read all over the world. And you're in the midst of a conversation, which is my favorite kind on Bookworm, a conversation with a writer who may be making her way into world literature. Is it permissible for me to say that, or does praise embarrass you?
Praise, wow. I'm trying to take it in. I'm so used to writing like the narrator does, in secret, in writing things that matter to me, but I'm aware that probably don't matter to many other people. So it's so new to hear praise like yours. I'm going to see if I can take that in. It's very generous reading, and I love the generosity of your mind as you bring that to my piece. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, it's a great pleasure for me, because as I take it, our job, us literary folk who are not writers, is to discover the work that needs to be discovered. And, you know, well, Jen, you know how rare anyone gives anyone a break. I want to give you a break because your novel, Jen Craig, Panthers and the Museum of Fire, published by Zero Gram Press, which is operated by my first guest, Jim Gower, I found this novel to be an immense and rich and complex pleasure. I read it 3 times. It's a great privilege to talk to you, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure. I've been anticipating it with great eagerness. Thank you. I want to tell my listeners that due to the pandemic, we are taping from our respective residences, so you may hear unusual sounds. You may even have heard my 23-year-old cat, Tati, yowling in the background. He doesn't like it when I talk to anyone but him. You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show, also available at Apple, Spotify, all other podcast services. You can even listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. Special thanks to my show's collaborators Alan Howard and Sean Sullivan, and technical director Mario Diaz. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
A bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.